Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of The Fumble of the NFL season 2018. Fletch, we both had very different, contrasting Saturdays. It was the NFL season kickoff. You were on Piccadilly. What was it like?
It was great, Vern. I've got to be honest. It was really, really good. I made friends with Matt Forte.
Oh, there's a relief, everyone. Yes, Fumble fans, yes, we can breathe a sigh of relief. Fletch didn't get battered by Matt Forte. And vice versa, let's be honest, Fletch, because you had a bit of beef with the old Forte machine.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't too excited about seeing him, but he was okay. What I did notice was he brought his wife with him. So always when a lady's there, it tends to diffuse difficult situations. So that was okay. And this morning, I put a little tweet up to say, you know, T-minus 45 minutes before we record the Fumble Week 2 episode. And our great friend Neil Reynolds said, I hope you'll be singing Make Friends, Never, Never Break Friends after patching things up with Matt Forte. But it was great for him because he was there. Paul Posluszny was there. He's ready to play, by the way. He's got a cut on his nose. Looks like he's been running into the garage door all week in readiness. Absolutely ripped. So many people there. Great vibe all day. I think it was everything that the NFL wanted in terms of raising awareness for non-NFL fans and diehard NFL fans before the season starts. Game shirts everywhere, great response, fantastic day. But while I was doing that, you were watching the London Warriors win the Brit Bowl.
Oh, Fletch! Sound the fanfare. Yeah, the London Warriors are back. The Brit Bowl trophy is where it well and truly belongs, in the hands of the Warriors. I'll tell you what, Fletch, what a game. What a game. A seriously high-scoring game. Two great offences. One that relied on the pass, the passing game, be it the Tamworth Phoenix, and the Warriors who literally ground the Tamworth Phoenix defence into the grass. The running game from our two running backs, Dwayne and Raimondo, who, by the way, I scouted both, Dwayne Watson and running back Ray, we call him, because no one can pronounce his second name. That's not offensive, that's just the way it is. But what a guy, both of them. Solid, solid running backs, and it was a great day. And it was good to see, there's only a handful of Brit Bowl fans there in the stadium, which there always is, but I think you'll have noticed it, the knowledge of the game within the UK has got better and better and better every year. I don't know whether it's the work that Sky are doing, I don't know whether it's the numerous podcasts that are around, just the awareness of American football, but all the fans cheer in the right places, and this time there was a lot of banter from the fans contesting the referee's decisions, which I really enjoyed.
Do you know what's disappointed me there? Why are they called the Tamworth Phoenix? That's a really bad name.
I'm having a drink of water, Fletch, so that I don't turn on the offensive. And I don't mean the attack. I mean the offensive as in throwing insults around. I have no idea. But they were well and truly distinguished on Saturday, my friend.
You can do better than that, though. They could be the Tamworth Titillators or something like that. something nice and inventive.
Well, imaginative. Yeah, I guess so. But you know what? Tamworth Phoenix, it fits. They've got the most hideous orange uniform. They got the most hideous fans who reinvented the use of the vuvuzela. Remember that, the South African World Cup?
I've got one.
I have still got a migraine because the many Tamworth fans that turned up didn't stop blowing those vuvuzelas. Or even, I would imagine they were still blowing them on the way home. But all credit to them, they fought to the very, very end, but the Warriors were just physically too much for them.
Fantastic. So a win for the Warriors, a great day down in London for me. On to Sunday then. Who did you watch? How did you watch it? What really caught your eye?
Well, we've talked about this before in previous fumbles, but I think technology and the way that the NFL has embraced it, the way that the NFL has enhanced sports viewership in the app, in the red zone, in the fact that Game Pass is genius. So yeah. I was out and about on Sunday with the kids and the missus and we were milling around and we were doing all kinds of stuff. However, with the Game Pass app, red zone on the phone, you can go wherever, you can do whatever you want. You can even sit down and read the Sunday Times on the on the toilet whilst you've got the Red Zone program on your phone, watching it out the corner of your eye. So with that, with the Red Zone and the Game Pass, you can watch football wherever and whenever you want, and that's what I did.
Well, I managed to go to the loo before it started, which was maybe better preparation on my part. Mrs. F did Sunday roast for 3:30. So that she knew by 6 o'clock I was gone. So 6 o'clock, I was in the man cave at six, not to be disturbed. Memorabilia all round me and red zone on the telly, flicking a little bit to Neil and the guys in the studio to see what Rob Ryan had to say. Solomon Wilcox really enjoyed that. But for me, as a Packers fan and a former Bears fan, we've done that story.
It was all about Sunday night
in Lambeau Field, Packers Bears. The biggest comeback, the best comeback I've ever seen a quarterback have, named Aaron Rodgers. 17 points down going into the fourth quarter. It's the biggest ever comeback for a Green Bay Packers team in the fourth quarter of any game. Before Sunday, when they trailed by 17, they were 0 and 107, to put into perspective what that man did. And to see him come back like that, hobble back out like Lazarus, all that kind of stuff, and to lead the Packers against the Bears in that fashion, it's the game of the season already for me. I won't see anything better all year long than Rodgers taking the Bears apart in the second half, early hours of Monday morning. The season could finish now, and I'm a happy man.
That is hilarious. The fact that you've placed your cards face up already after week one, Darren Fletcher.
Yeah, absolutely.
After week one. And we've got some stellar lineups, which we're going to talk up a little bit later on the podcast. But already, you've laid your cards face up, claiming that that comeback by Aaron Rodgers versus the Bears is the best game all season.
All in. And we can go back at the end, before we do the Super Bowl preview, and see whether I'm right. I tell you what I did like as well. Sacks were first recorded in 1982. Before that, it didn't exist as a statistic.
Coffee's arrived. Coffee's arrived.
Pause.
Thank you, sir. It's very kind. The fumble cappuccino's arrived, Darren. Continue.
Right. So Khalil Mack, two first-round picks, etc. He became, on Sunday night, the first player since 1982, when sacks were first recorded, to have a sack, a forced fumble, an interception, and a touchdown in one half of an NFL game. And when you think of some of the great linebackers during that time, Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, Mike Singletary, etc., they have never done what Khalil Mack did at Lambeau Field in the first 30 minutes against the Packers. It was sensational.
Will that statistic already, so early in the season, in a game that you've already claimed is going to be game of the year, that statistic from Khalil Mack, will it justify four Bears fans the immensity of the trade?
I tell you what it'll do, mate. I'll make another sweeping statement now. It's sweeping statement week. He wins Defensive Player of the Year because the Packers couldn't block him. And this is a fella that was on a snap count because he's not fit yet. He's not into the system yet. He's not really ready to play yet. And he gets a sack, a forced fumble, a pick six in 30 minutes, two quarters. Best defensive player in the league, bar none. He'll win Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to make the Bears relevant in a hurry. And I just wish, as a Packers fan, we'd have got him.
Now, there's one thing that we need to talk about, Darren. You've already said that is Game of the Year already after week one. Great comeback by my boy in my fantasy team, Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully, he'll be fit for week two. But another great team had a great start to the... I'm sorry. There's one team in the NFL that had its best start to a season since 2004. Starting the season, no wins, no losses, and one tie, their best start to a season since 2004. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, what I'm going to do at this stage, I'm going to politely retreat from the room and allow you to talk about the Cleveland Browns.
There's nothing I can say, Darren,
my friend.
There is nothing I can say. That game in the rain in Cleveland Stadium was an absolute calamity. The Steelers didn't want to get involved. They were all crying because of the loss, the lack of their all-star running back, Le'Veon Bell. The Cleveland Browns couldn't try for love nor money to get the ball in the end zone or even score a game-winning field goal in overtime. They just couldn't get it done. They couldn't win. The fans were on the edges of their seats. They were all jumping up and down in their ponchos and their big fluffy mustaches. But could they score? Could they get the win? No! It was a shambles. It was a shambles. However, if you, like myself, were watching on Red Zone, all you did during that last 30, 40 minutes of that game was glue yourself to Red Zone. Forget the other games. Just go back to the Cleveland Steelers game. Is anyone doing anything productive? It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. But congratulations, the Cleveland Browns. At 0-0-1, that's the best start to your season since 2004. And for that, you know what I did, Darren, on Monday morning?
You didn't buy Browns merchandise, did you?
I went to the NFL shop.
And
on its way is a Cleveland Browns fitted medium-large baseball cap.
You are kidding.
I'm not. I thought, you know what? I've got so much merchandise dotted around my house. I just felt sorry for them because they're that team. They're now that team where people will invest in the Browns just because they feel sorry for them.
They've not even got a logo, for crying out loud. You can't buy merchandise for a team that has no logo.
They've got the worst uniform in the history of any sport. If you can name any professional sports team anywhere in the world, right, that has a worse uniform than the Cleveland Browns, then I will be more than happy to listen to your debate because that uniform is shocking. No one in the world should buy anything brown and think that you're going to get away with it because it's shocking. And I just think that uniform is dreadful, Dara. But let's rewind a little bit, okay? All right, let's rewind a little bit. I'll relax. I'll calm down. Big Ben looked out of sorts. The Steelers looked out of sorts. I don't know whether it was the weather, whether it was the fact that they were in Cleveland, but they weren't firing. Give me a take on the Steelers, Darren.
Well, I'll tell you what, Vern. Listen, I kind of just sat back there and let you speak about the Cleveland Browns, because that's fine, because they are the Cleveland Browns. So what you've kind of said, I get. But I want to kind of flip it around and go Steelers, because I think the Steelers, under the radar, have become one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the NFL. Yes, they've got talent, fantastic talent, certainly on offense. Roethlisberger, Brown, Bell when he's there, good offensive line, Juju Smith-Schuster. But they had 12 penalties against Cleveland on Sunday for 116 yards. Just kind of put that into context. They're playing the Cleveland Browns, 12 penalties, 116 yards. I can understand that if you're playing against the Patriots and you're a bit nervous, AFC Championship game, you know, in their backyard. It's the Browns. You don't need to do that. You know, when you think about the things that happen around that team, Mike Tomlin runs a really, really loose ship. And when you hear about problems, you know, it was Le'Veon Bell getting busted by the law for allegedly smoking marijuana in the car. It's people being late for meetings. It's Ben Roethlisberger calling people out. This week, it's the line calling Le'Veon Bell out. Good teams don't do this. Belichick's Patriots don't do this. And if they operated in a more disciplined manner, this roster now should and would have won a Super Bowl. You know, I kind of look at it and I think if you're going to run a ship as loose as this one, you're going to get exactly what you're getting now. I was just listening to an ex-Steeler, name escapes me, on another podcast the other day. He was saying it can be so bad that they can be on the field at the same time and two different defenses can be called on the field by two separate players because they're not even on the same page with regard to watching film, etc. This is a team that needs to become more disciplined. Mike Tomlin needs to become more disciplined. He needs to get more from his team in terms of being prepared and ready to play. And if they do that, they can be the best team in the AFC. If they don't, they're going to tie with the Cleveland Browns like they just have. For crying out loud.
All right, Darren, we're both in the same fantasy league. Let's talk fantasy fortunes. You gave me so much stick, and I have received so much stick for picking a kicker in, what was he, the 63rd pick, I think he was, Greg the Leg.
Yeah, and I've looked at your team. He was actually your third highest scorer this week, behind only Aaron Rodgers and Adrian Peterson. He actually got more points than Zeke Elliott, Chris Hogan, Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz.
Hey, Chris Hogan.
16 points.
When you spoke last week about my selection for Chris Hogan, you said that you think he's going to have a breakout season. He got 1.1 points. That's one catch for 11 yards. What's going on? What do you think, Darren?
Yeah, but don't be an overreactor for week one. And he might not get many points this week because he's up against the Jacksonville Jaguars and that defense.
Who are my defense?
Yeah, but he's going to be one of those. He's going to be one of those players, Vern, I think, who every now and again is going to explode. He'll get two touchdowns, 140 yards, and that will be the difference between you and the team you're playing against. You see, what you need every now and again in a fantasy league that runs like this, you need those big weeks. I got 144.7 points this week, my friend, because I got 34.1 from Alvin Kamara and 35.3 from Tyreek Hill. Now, they're not going to do that every week, but when they do, I am ripping your pants down with my fingernails, and that's what I did to Julian Mills and the Ballers at the weekend. He got 122.1, and he's crying himself to sleep every night. That's how we roll.
Now, in our WhatsApp group that we have for our winner-takes-all fantasy football league, every single person, except for me, and I will hold my hand up, right up, right?
Yeah.
I've got to give you credit for scoring that many points, because I think the way you work your draft is something that should be noted by everyone who's a fantasy football league fan. Like, but the rest of the group, oh my gosh, you got more shite thrown at you than a field in autumn.
Listen, jealousy is a dreadful thing. And there was a great deal of that in the room. I even said to the fellas last night, because we put some money in, we put 50 quid a man into a pot, winner takes all, right?
Yeah.
I've even offered the fellas, I'll take £47 a piece now, because I don't want to do it to them for 15, 16 weeks, because they're already crying. I've had Internet Rich on. Big Tim, blimey. Big Tim, what a nightmare he is. He just moaned from the moment he got his draft pick. He'd not even taken a player, and he was moaning. This is what we're up against, my friend. We need to stay together. Solidarity.
Thank you. Be unified.
Let them do what they're doing. And at the end of the day, we might treat them to a pound, a pint or two out the winnings. We might not.
Yeah, but boy, did they mock when I took Greg the Leg in pick 63.
Well, I mocked as well. Yeah.
And I did too. I took a defence before any wide receiver, Darren.
That did well as well, though, for you. That was good as well. If I look at that, your defence this week got you 15 points. Now, the player you played against, Mayfield of Dreams, Cleveland Browns fan, Internet Rich, he played the Chargers defence and got minus six.
Yeah. He only got 50-odd points.
I know he did.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go to Twitter, because last week on Twitter, we posted a couple of pictures. One of you wearing a Patriots jacket from the Patriots Gillette Stadium Pro Shop. And I got a picture up on our Twitter feed of a jacket that I actually bought. I actually bought from that old school sporting label Starter, and it's an old school Patriots jacket. Highly flammable, was like your suit jacket as well. But I think we have the results of the poll. Whose jacket was worst?
Yeah, I think I wore it hands down, didn't I?
I think you did. Yeah, it was your lounge suit that won it. You got 76. I think it was likes. I think you were likes. Yeah, 76 likes.
Yeah.
And we only got 9 retweets for my Patriots jacket. So, well, I don't know. Is it? Is it a well done? Well done, Fletch. Your jacket was worse than mine.
To be honest, that's normally what gets said when we go out. your club is worse than Vern's.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what. Last time, and I've had the invite, by the way, for this year. Last time we went out, we looked stud-like when we were Shad Khan's super yacht.
Yeah, funnily enough, I didn't get the invite for this year. What did I do wrong?
Well, hey, I've had the invite, and you can be my plus one. However, you do have to wear a blonde wig and a pair of stilettos like the missus would wear, because Mr. Khan and his family would like to cordially invite Vernon Kay and Tess Daly.
Right, well, not again. Every time we go out, I have to dress as Tess.
Darren, shave your legs, you'll get away with it. Let's do pick six, all right? First question is to you. What merch did you purchase on Saturday? What merch were you given? What merchandise did you buy, or what merchandise did you steal?
I stole a Tennessee Titans bobble hat, you know, the nice thick ones for the winter, for when I'm walking the dog. I've got a bit of a thing about the Tennessee merchandise, the gear. It's nice. I like it. I like the colour. I like the logo. I like the design. I don't like the team, but I like the stuff. So I pinched one of their hats, and then Crossy very kindly got me an NFL zip sweatshirt, Nike one. Really nice. But I just didn't have time to get to the store, so I didn't buy anything else. That was it. It was a bit of a low-key situation for me with regards to being around merchandise. So I crashed and burned a little bit there.
Well, that and the fact that you were trying to make waves with Matt Forte.
If they sold Matt Forte throwbacks, I would have bought 5 of them. But they didn't.
And we talked about it briefly at the top of the podcast. What's the general vibe amongst football fans at the moment? What are they talking about? What was the story? What was the one thing that they kept going back to every time you spoke to fans? Because I know you like to get out there and mingle with the people, Darren.
Yeah, it was just general excitement, you know, for the start of the season. And it was great because there must have been 10 or 12 different opinions as to who was going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, nice.
And every one was valid. You know the crazy thing? If you looked at the Premier League, you get 2 or 3.
Mm.
And you kind of go, OK, Liverpool, OK, Man City. Anybody else is a bit of a stretch. But I got about 10 or 12. And then they made the case for that team in a really articulate way. And you thought, you know what? They're right. And then you speak to somebody else and go, nah, the other fellow was wrong because this lady's right. And it went like that all day long. So I'm glad we did the picks before I was there. Otherwise, we'd have still been going now, and I'd have been making a case for 12 out of the 32 teams.
Mm.
So it was just a really nice vibe. Everybody really excited, and everybody struggling to find who's going to be the dominant team in the NFC and the dominant team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Here's a nice idea that you had last week, by the way, which is going to be question 2 on the pick 6. You were asking our fumble downloaders to send in questions, weren't you, for this part of the show?
Yeah.
Well, Steve Langton's got in touch on Twitter, and he says, who will win the next NFC Championship trophy first? Their next NFC Championship trophy first. The San Francisco 49ers or the Dallas Cowboys?
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's an easy answer, but I'll leave it to you.
I think it's an easy answer, and I'm hoping that we both have the same easy answer.
Go on.
I'm going to say the 49ers.
I would too.
Good. And this is why.
This is one man.
Because the 49ers seem to be a team who are building a team. John Lynch, brand new general manager. They've got a great head coach, one of the best play callers in football. And they've traded for Garoppolo, a great quarterback. Still yet to be proven, even though he was 7 games undefeated last season. But still yet to be proven. They are building a team. They're bringing in people, aren't they?
They are.
They are bringing in people. You know, they're building up their defense. They're building up their offense. The Cowboys just seem to be consistently an average team.
Mm.
You know, they can't muster up some consistent offense. The game at the weekend was awful. It was nothing but awful. It really was. And I think the moment that Jerry Jones steps down as the all-singing, all-dancing man in charge, I think that's the only time the Cowboys will improve, because I think he has got them well and truly under the thumb. And I think it's time their head coach walked out the door.
I give you a really shortened version of what you just said. I think it's the 49ers, for the simple fact is Jimmy Garoppolo looks to me as though he can be a franchise quarterback, and I don't think Dak Prescott can. I just don't think Dak Prescott has the skill set to be in that upper echelon of a top five NFL quarterback. And if you're going to get to an NFC Championship game and then a Super Bowl, you need an absolute top end, top tier franchise quarterback. I fear that Dak won't be that, but I think that Jimmy G just might be.
Do you not think that if the Cowboys bring in a decent receiver, bearing in mind they got rid of Dez, you know, give him a good slot receiver, give him a good outside receiver, because they've got a great running back who's proven himself already. They're supposed to have the best offensive line in the league, but they're just... Do you not think that if they give him some targets, he can improve?
No, I don't think he's accurate enough. And I think the key to being a top-end quarterback is you watch Rodgers and Brady and Breeze. If they've got the tiniest of windows, they can thread the ball in there. And at the top end, the championship games, when it's the best against the best, you need that. I think Dak Prescott misses Dez Bryant because Dez Bryant had a great range of catch. Long arms, big body. He could be slightly off target. Dez Bryant would catch it. Jason Witten would catch it. He's got receivers now that can't give him that. He's got to be more accurate. I don't think he can be. That's why he fell in the draft. Character-wise, brilliant. Leadership-wise, superb. Athletically gifted. But he wasn't quite accurate enough with some of those throws that you like to see from the very best in the business. I think it's always going to hold him back.
All right, let's move on to question three. This is mine to you, Darren Fletcher. What are your top stats and facts out of week one?
Well, I managed to find some good ones here, mate. Some that I like. I'm going to try and do this every week if I possibly can. So I've been delving through the archives. I've read every paper going. I've been on all the websites. And I'm going to hit you with a few. For a start, I can play in the NFL moment on Sunday. And I did it because I was watching Nathan Peterman of the Buffalo Bills. A 0.0 quarterback rating on 18 passes against the Ravens. Only 29 players in NFL history have attempted that many passes and got a zero rating. That's the bad news. The good news for him is that two of them are in the Hall of Fame. One's heading into the Hall of Fame and another one's won two Super Bowls. Warren Moon's done it. Joe Namath's done it. Peyton Manning's done it. And Eli Manning's done it. So that's my first one. Nathan Peterman, 0.0 QB rating on 18 passes. On to Pat Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. What a rocket he's got for an arm, by the way. He averaged 17.1 yards per pass against the Los Angeles Chargers, my Los Angeles Chargers, which is more than Alex Smith's average in 80 of his 81 games as a Kansas City Chief. Here's another one for you. Tom Brady's win, New England's win against the Houston Texans. Brady now at home since 2007 against the AFC is 57-2. And one thing we did see a lot of in week one, interceptions. We saw the most interceptions in the opening week of an NFL season for 15 years. Since 2003, there were 39 interceptions in the NFL in week one. And they are my facts, figures, numbers, stats of the week. On the fumble.
Wow, just think about those stats, Darren. They are some statistics to behold in week one of
that
the
is
NFL.
That is the way we roll. Here's another one to you while we're keeping it rolling here. What's the one game that you won't miss this weekend?
I'm torn at the moment. I'm torn between the Pats and the Jags because obviously my man crush, Tom Brady. However, I've got to step back and just say, what's Tom done to his hair? He doesn't look as handsome as he used to. I think he got drunk in the off season, and
he'll always be handsome to you.
Let's move on. Sorry, my heart just skipped a beat then. I think he must have had one of them nights. So, you know, stereotypical night out in Tenerife where you get drunk and the old Sharpie marker comes out, and the lads have gone, No, don't draw a penis on his forehead, shave his hair.
I tell you what, Gronk would have been in the middle of all that. He would have been doing the drawing.
I think he's had an absolute shocker with his Barnett. But anyway, let's look at the Patriots. We know what they are. We know who they are. Let's look at the Jags. They're our Jags. Leonard Fournette, that injury in week one, is it going to affect him week two? We will find out. I think it's a pulled hammy. Is that right?
It's only a mild one though, isn't it? But the problem with Leonard Fournette, he has a few of those. It's not the first time it's happened. So you've just got to make sure that this is not going to be something that follows him throughout the career.
Yeah, it was a close win week one for the Jags, but this game I'm intrigued by. The Giants versus the Cowboys. We've just spoke about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott and why he's not a championship-winning quarterback. The lack of players, or the players that they've got rid of, even though they've got a great offensive line, they've got a decent defense with Sean Lee in the middle, who had a stonker at the weekend against the Panthers. What a player. I wish he was on a better team. I really do, because if he was on a better team, and the commentators said this at the weekend, he would be nailed down Hall of Famer. He'll probably make it into the Hall of Fame, but I don't think he'll be a first-shot Hall of Famer, if you know what I mean. I don't think he'll get his gold jacket on the first year of his eligibility because he's played for the Cowboys. However, look at the running backs in this game. Oh, Ezekiel Elliott, my boy, my fantasy team. But Shaquan, is that how you say it?
Shaquan
Barkley. The guy has got quads to die for. He really has. Yeah. And he had a breakout touchdown at the weekend for the Giants, which made people sit back and go, you know what? If this guy can stay healthy, he is going to be a Hall of Famer because he's got the moves. I think this is going to be a great game at the weekend.
I'm going to watch Chiefs Steelers. I think there could be over 100 points scored in this one. Pat Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, Connor or Bell. And Hunt, the running backs, Sammy Watkins. I enjoyed the Chiefs more than I enjoyed anybody at the weekend. They look such an explosive offense. Tyreek Hill might well be the fastest human being not named Usain Bolt I've ever seen. He's called the Cheetah, and it's the perfect name. He was absolutely explosive, kick returning, catching the ball, running it. Unbelievable, unbelievable. He's suddenly become the favourite player in the NFL, apart from Aaron Rodgers. And I just want to watch the Chiefs every week. Mahomes has got a cannon for an arm and wants to use it at every opportunity. Andy Reid's gone, come on, lads, let's go and get some points. And he's got all those weapons. The defence is crap. So they've got to score 40 to win. So you know what the mindset is when they get out there. We can't stop you. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to punch you in the face harder than you punch us. So I want to watch the Chiefs. I want to watch them every week because I really, really like them.
There's a backstory to this, or a little side story to it all. Patrick Mahomes looked awesome at the weekend.
Yeah.
He really did look phenomenal. He's got a cannon of an arm, like you say. But not only that, we talked about the fact that Dak Prescott is lacking in accuracy. This guy was chucking it on the numbers. Phenomenal.
Just a bit.
But look at the success that the three quarterbacks in that quarterback equation in the offseason have had on their new teams. Look at the impact that they've had. Kirk Cousins at Minnesota, Alex Smith at the Redskins, and then Mahomes at the Chiefs. Alex Smith, he looked reborn. He looked reinvented at the weekend.
He looked like Joe Montana.
He did. It was unbelievable.
Mind you, so did your man, Peterson. Yeah. Picked in the fantasy team.
Hey, do you know what excited me about Patrick Peterson? He was running like he used to run.
Adrian.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I always make that mistake. I made that mistake like live on Sky with the Sky team last time.
Adrian in the background.
Yeah. So anyway, so Adrian Peterson, not the DB for the Cardinals. Adrian Peterson, he looked rapid. He looked strong.
He looked angry.
He looked like an angry young man.
He was
catching passes out of the backfield. So I'm watching his fantasy numbers go up. I'm thinking, hang on a minute, he's only got 90 yards rushing. Why are his numbers so high? Because he was catching out the backfield and legging it for miles.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Week one was superb. Let's just kind of agree on that.
Yeah.
It was everything he wanted it to be. Close finishes, great games, big stories, superstars performing well, explosive football. It was just tremendous, wasn't it?
I bet you the highlight reel at the end of the season, the majority of it, or more than a third of it, will be week one action.
I agree.
Right. Now then, now that you're great pals with Matt Forte, and I've no doubt that you're going to share a jacuzzi with him and his wife in the future next time you go visit Chicago, who are the best and worst NFLers you've interviewed?
Well, he's still the worst. I never interviewed him, did I? He just shouted me down. Listen, I might have forgiven him to a point, but I'm not letting it go. So it's still him. He still holds that record of being the worst person I've ever bumped into an NFL locker room. I still say the best is, poor crikey. It's difficult because all the rest are great. I mean, I think of all the guys that have come across to work with us on the tailgates and all that kind of thing. I mean, it's very difficult to pick out many of them that aren't great. I really enjoyed when we went to Green Bay and I told the Aaron Rodgers story. He was a joy to deal with. Drew Brees was great when he came across. Philip Rivers is one of the nicest guys. I sat down with Philip Rivers at the Super Bowl 2 or 3 years ago, and he gave us 10 minutes of his time. Couldn't have been nicer. Did it because he wanted to do it. And he was one of the people that, we know when you sit down with him and you see him moaning all the time, as you pointed out a couple of weeks ago, you know, he's always moaning at the opposition and jawing and all that kind of thing. I thought he might be that kind of character. Couldn't have been nicer. And I actually changed my opinion of him as a fella by sitting down and spending 10 minutes with him. He's a completely different person without the helmet and shoulder pads on than he is when you see him barking at the opposite sideline every Sunday. So Philip Rivers was a real difference maker for me in terms of what I thought when I started the interview to what I thought when I finished it. It was great.
Never judge a book by its cover, as they say.
Never do that. Never do that.
Hey, well, I think in general, you know, the NFLers, they're bright guys, aren't they? Because they spent some time in college, albeit because of their athletic ability. We know that. But it's the way that the PR machines for all the teams work. They don't give out generic, boring, stereotypical answers. Right, we were at the Super Bowl. Right, two English blokes sat amongst a pool of Patriots fans. We were rooting for the Eagles. We were drowning in a pool of empty Bud Light bottles. And who do we spot? The Baltimore Ravens head coach. Remember?
Yes, you went over.
Yeah, I went over and had a chat with Coach Harbour, and he was the nicest bloke ever. And you know when you kind of think, I better go now because I'm up to that limit where we're asking questions like, what are you doing for your summer holidays? Where'd you get your hair cut? And what have you bought the missus for Christmas? That type of question. But he just kept going. And it was him asking me those questions.
Yeah. Well,
what a great bloke.
I was actually wondering, you know, in hindsight on that, you know, all the questions he asked you, I actually wondered whether it was some kind of sobriety test that he was performing on you. Because
I think he knew we were absolutely rat-legged.
Yeah, you've been in there for a while at that stage. And I think he was thinking, I'm just going to ask him this and see what answer I get.
Excuse me, son, what are 7-6s?
Yeah. You know the second question when he made you walk up and down the steps while you were doing it? Did that not surprise you?
With my index finger on my nose.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah. Thank you, Simon Cross. Hey, yeah. Crossy. He just said maybe he thought you were Mick Lockhurst.
To be honest, you know, I've never seen the two of you in the same room together.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
Okay, one for you then. This is the last one, I think, before we get to the two-minute warning. It's another one from Twitter, from Daniel Harris, and it's for you, Vern.
Right.
Any tips on how to get into football in the UK, or are they closed teams? I think Daniel fancies playing. You're the perfect man to tell him how to do it.
Yeah, well, now's the perfect time to get involved, Daniel, because it's the off-season. So if you go to the British American Football Association website, you can find a local team. If you don't fancy the physical, if you don't fancy the helmet and shoulder pads game, there's loads and loads and loads of flag football teams out there. There's loads of sevens American football teams out there as well. The game is really accessible in the UK. Now, there's one piece of advice I will give you. Bang on the gym. If you get in the gym, and if you're going to play physical, helmet and pads, American football, full contact. Trust me, Daniel, there are some absolute units out there that play the British game. It's not the odd skinny lad in a pair of shoulder pads and a helmet that he bought from the fancy dress store anymore, like it was in the late 80s. These kids have come to play. And Daniel, if you are going to play, get in the gym, put on a bit of timber, whatever position you're going to play, and get involved. It's great fun. And I think American football, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it's one of the best team sports in the world. Because if you don't do your job right, American football cliche coming your way, the machine will break down. And that ultimate American football cliche from Coach Belichick, do your job, do your job, is probably the best American football cliche out there. Because if you don't do your job, no one else can do theirs. Get involved,
Daniel. Hope that helps you, Daniel. That's really good advice from the big fella. Get on that website, find your local team, get yourself down there and enjoy it. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Right, 2 minute warning, Fletch.
Boom.
2 minute warning, Darren, and this annoyed the life out of me at the weekend, okay?
I know what's coming.
I'm just going to take a moment to Now, during the 80s, Darren, I saw this game called American Football, and the thing that attracted me to American football, it wasn't the fact that it was on after Winnie Cooper and Kenny Van Arnold in the Wonder Years, it was the fact that it was the most physical game I'd ever seen. The hits were brutal, the players were physical. The NFL, for me, seems to have taken the physical out of the sport. The lowering of the helmet rule at the weekend was such a grey area. I saw so many helmet-to-helmet tackles, so many helmet-to-helmet challenges, mainly from running backs in open field lowering their head to engage contact, which I thought is now a penalty. Flags weren't thrown. However, on the flip side, the slightest of helmet-to-helmet contact, a flag was thrown in other games. I don't know what's going on. Darren, please explain.
I don't know. And the thing that did me at the weekend was this, the pass rusher, when he sacks the quarterback now, if the ball's gone, he can't allow his weight to land on the quarterback.
How can you do that?
How the hell is he supposed to stop? You're talking about a tenth of a second from the ball being released. All right, maybe a little bit longer than that. From the defensive lineman running at full speed to wrap his arms around the quarterback. At that stage, he's supposed to be able to move in mid-air, change direction and not land on the quarterback. It's impossible.
Saw a couple of them this weekend. It's the most stupidest flag ever.
Crazy, because a big key to winning an NFL game on defense is getting to the quarterback. But there's no use getting to the quarterback if when you get there, you get a 15-yard penalty.
Well, I think what the NFL is trying to do at the moment is trying to do what they're trying to do to world soccer. We need more goals. We need more high-scoring games. What do we do? Make the goals bigger. No. We all know that a quarterback is important to an NFL team. However, American football is a physical sport. You're never, ever, ever going to take the physical out of the game because you've got men who are huge, physical, and they are bonus, they're on bonus related pay. So you can't stop a guy getting involved in the physical of the NFL. It's just impossible.
Yeah, it's a real pet hate of mine, and I know we're about to run out of time on the 2-minute warning, but I think a big way around this is that these guys go into the NFL and they know at some stage they're going to get hurt, whether it's a knee injury, an ankle injury, whatever it is. They know that a legacy of their career is going to be left behind on them physically. The sooner they give these guys guaranteed contracts where they know what they're going to receive financially, I think all of it becomes a little bit easier to take. But these guys can be cast aside on the streets in the blink of an eye by an NFL team, and the risks they take and what they put themselves through physically deserves, I think, the kind of contracts that we see in the Premier League, NBA players get, Major League Baseball players get. I always feel for the NFL player operating on a non-guaranteed contract with the physical risks involved in being in that league.
All right, thanks, Darren. That was a 3-minute warning on a narrative that is going to be with us for the rest of the season, I do believe. And just quickly, it's controversial. We'll pick it up next week. Take off the helmets. Anyway, there you go. The Fumble with Fletch and Vern is a Shooting Shark production. Don't start, Darren. Don't start. We'll pick it up next week. Thank you very much for taking time out to listen to us. You know what to do. Subscribe, download, and comment, I think, is what my daughters have taught me if you're listening to a podcast.
We're looking forward to next week already, so we'll speak to you then.
Yeah, see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.